Against All Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 2, Chapter 4. The absurdity of the supposed vacuum and defect of the heretics is demonstrated. The cause, then, of such a dispensation on the part of God is to be inquired after, but the formation of the world is not to be ascribed to any other. And all things are to be spoken of as having been so prepared by God beforehand that they should be made as they have been made. But shadow and vacuity are not to be conjured into existence. But whence, let me ask, came this vacuity of which they speak? If it was indeed produced by him who, according to them, is the Father and author of all things, then it is both equal in honor and related to the rest of the eons, perchance even more ancient than they are. Moreover, if it proceeded from the same source as they did, it must be similar in nature to him who produced it, as well as to those along with which it was produced. There will, therefore, be an absolute necessity, both that the Bythus of whom they speak, along with Sige, be similar in nature to a vacuum. That is, that he really is a vacuum, and that the rest of the eons, since they are the brothers of vacuity, should also be devoid of substance. If, on the other hand, it has not been thus produced, it must have sprang from and been generated by itself. And in that case, it will be equal in point of age to that Bythus, who is, according to them, the father of all. And thus vacuity will be of the same nature and of the same honor with him who is, according to them, the universal father. For it must of necessity have been either produced by someone, or generated by itself, and sprung from itself. But if in truth vacuity was produced, then its producer Valentinus is also a vacuum, as are likewise his followers. If again it was not produced, but was generated by itself, then that which is really a vacuum is similar to, and the brother of, and of the same honor with, that father who has been proclaimed by Valentinus. While it is more ancient, and dating its existence from a period greatly anterior, and more exalted in honor than the remaining eons of Ptolemy himself, and Heracleon, and all the rest who hold the same opinions. But if, driven to despair in regard to these points, they confess that the Father of all contains all things, and that there is nothing whatever outside of the Pleroma, for it is an absolute necessity that, if there be anything outside it, it should be bounded and circumscribed by something greater than itself, and that they speak of what is without and what within, in reference to knowledge and ignorance, and not with respect to local distance, but that in the Pleroma, or in those things which are contained by the Father, the whole creation which we know to have been formed, having been made by the Demiurge or by the angels, is contained by the unspeakable greatness, as the center is in a circle, or as a spot is in a garment. Then, in the first place, what sort of a being must that Bythus be who allows a stain to have place in his own bosom, and permits another one to create or produce within his territory, contrary to his own will? Such a mode of acting would truly entail the charge of degeneracy upon the entire Pleroma, since it might from the first have cut off that defect and those emanations which derived their origin from it, and not have agreed to permit the formation of creation either in ignorance or passion or in defect. For he who can afterwards rectify a defect and does, as it were, wash away a stain, could at a much earlier date have taken care that no such stain should even at first be found among his possessions. or if at the first he allowed that the things which were made should be as they are, since they could not in fact be formed otherwise, then it follows that they must always continue in the same condition. For how is it possible that those things which cannot at the first obtain rectification should subsequently receive it? Or how can men say that they are called to perfection, when those very beings who are the causes from which men derive their origin, either the demiurge himself or the angels, are declared to exist in defect? And if, as is maintained, the Supreme Being, inasmuch as he is benignant, did at last take pity upon men and bestow on them perfection, he ought at first to have pitied those who were the creators of man, and to have conferred on them perfection. In this way, men too would verily have shared in his compassion, being formed perfect by those that were perfect. For if he pitied the work of these beings, he ought long before to have pitied them, and not to have allowed them to fall into such awful blindness. Their talk also about shadow and vacuity, in which they maintain that the creation with which we are concerned was formed, will be brought to nothing if the things referred to were created within the territory which is contained by the Father. For if they hold that the light of their Father is such that it fills all things which are inside of him, and illuminates them all, how can any vacuum or shadow possibly exist within the territory which is contained by the Pleroma, and by the light of the Father? For in that case it behoves them to point out some place within the Propator, or within the Pleroma, which is not illuminated, nor kept possession of by any one, and in which either the angels or the demiurge formed whatever they pleased. Nor will it be a small amount of space in which such and so great a creation can be conceived of as having been formed. There will therefore be an absolute necessity that within the Pleroma, or within the Father of whom they speak, they should conceive of some place, void, formless, and full of darkness, in which those things were formed which have been formed. By such a supposition, however, the light of their Father would incur a reproach, as if he could not illuminate and fill those things which are within himself. Thus, then, when they maintain that these things were the fruit of defect and the work of error, they do moreover introduce defect and error within the Pleroma and into the bosom of the Father. Chapter 5. This world was not formed by any other beings within the territory which is contained by the Father. The remarks, therefore, which I made a little while ago, are suitable in answer to those who assert that this world was formed outside of the Pleroma, or under a good God, and such persons, with the Father they speak of, will be quite cut off from that which is outside the Pleroma, in which, at the same time, it is necessary that they should finally rest. In answer to those again who maintain that this world was formed by certain other beings within that territory which is contained by the Father, all those points which have now been noticed will present themselves as exhibiting their absurdities and incoherencies, and they will be compelled either to acknowledge all those things which are within the Father, lucid, full, and energetic, or to accuse the light of the Father as if he could not illuminate all things, or, as a portion of their Pleroma is so described, the whole of it must be confessed to be void, chaotic, and full of darkness. And they accuse all other created things as if these were merely temporal, or, at the best, if eternal, yet material. But these, the eons, ought to be regarded as beyond the reach of such accusations, since they are within the Pleroma. Or the charges in question will equally fall against the entire Pleroma, and thus the Christ of whom they speak is discovered to be the author of ignorance. For according to their statements, When he had given a form, so far as substance was concerned, to the mother they conceive of, he cast her outside of the Pleroma, that is, he cut her off from knowledge. He, therefore, who separated her from knowledge, did in reality produce ignorance in her. How, then, could the very same person bestow the gift of knowledge on the rest of the aeons, those who were anterior to him in production, and yet be the author of ignorance to his mother? For he placed her beyond the pale of knowledge when he cast her outside of the Pleroma. Moreover, if they explain being within and without the Pleroma, as implying knowledge and ignorance, respectively, as certain of them do, since he who has knowledge is within that which knows, then they must of necessity grant that the Savior himself, whom they designate all things, was in a state of ignorance. For they maintain that on his coming forth outside of the Pleroma, he imparted form to their mother, Achamoth. If, then, they assert that whatever is outside the Pleroma is ignorant of all things, and if the Savior went forth to impart form to their mother, then he was situated beyond the pale of the knowledge of all things. That is, he was in ignorance. How, then, could he communicate knowledge to her when he himself was beyond the pale of knowledge? For we, too, they declare to be outside the Pleroma, inasmuch as we are outside of the knowledge which they possess. And once more, if the Savior really went forth beyond the Pleroma to seek after the sheep which was lost, but the Pleroma is coextensive with knowledge, then he placed himself beyond the pale of knowledge, that is, in ignorance. For it is necessary either that they grant that what is outside the Pleroma is so in a local sense, in which case all the remarks formerly made will rise up against them, or if they speak of that which is within in regard to knowledge, and of that which is without in respect to ignorance, then their Savior, and Christ long before him, must have been formed in ignorance, inasmuch as they went forth beyond the Pleroma, that is, beyond the pale of knowledge, in order to impart form to their mother. These arguments may in like manner be adapted to meet the case of all those who in any way maintain that the world was formed either by angels or by any one other than the true God. For the charges which they bring against the demiurge, and those things which were made material and temporal, will in truth fall back on the Father, if indeed the very things which were formed in the bosom of the Pleroma began by and by, in fact, to be dissolved, in accordance with the permission and good will of the Father. The immediate Creator, then, is not the real author of this work, thinking, as he did, that he formed it very good. But he who allows and approves of the productions of defect and the works of error having a place among his own possessions, and that temporal things should be mixed up with eternal, corruptible with incorruptible, and those which partake of error with those which belong to truth. If, however, these things were formed without the permission or approbation of the Father of all, then that being must be more powerful, stronger, and more kingly, who made these things within a territory which properly belongs to the Father, and did so without his permission. If again, as some say, their Father permitted these things without approving of them, then he gave the permission on account of some necessity, being either able to prevent such procedure or not able. But if indeed he could not hinder it, then he is weak and powerless, while if he could, he is a seducer, a hypocrite, and a slave of necessity, inasmuch as he does not consent to such a course, and yet allows it as if he did consent. And allowing error to arise at the first, and to go on increasing, he endeavors in later times to destroy it, when already many have miserably perished on account of the original defect. It is not seemly, however, to say of him who is God over all, since he is free and independent, that he was a slave to necessity, or that anything takes place with his permission yet against his desire. Otherwise they will make necessity greater and more kingly than God, since that which has the most power is superior to all others. And he ought, at the very beginning, to have cut off the causes of the fancied necessity, and not to have allowed himself to be shut up to yielding to that necessity by permitting anything besides that which became him. For it would have been much better, more consistent, and more godlike, to cut off at the beginning the principle of this kind of necessity, than afterwards, as if moved by repentance, to endeavor to extirpate the results of necessity when they had reached such a development. And if the father of all be a slave to necessity and must yield to fate, while he unwillingly tolerates the things which are done, but is at the same time powerless to do anything in opposition to necessity and fate, like the Homeric Jupiter, who says of necessity, "I have willingly given thee, yet with unwilling mind," then, according to this reasoning, the Bythus of whom they speak will be found to be the slave of necessity and fate. Chapter 6. The angels and the creator of the world could not have been ignorant of the supreme God. How, again, could either the angels or the creator of the world have been ignorant of the supreme God, seeing they were his property and his creatures, and were contained by him? He might indeed have been invisible to them on account of his superiority, but he could by no means have been unknown to them on account of his providence. For though it is true, as they declare, that they were very far separated from him through their inferiority of nature, yet, as his dominion extended over all of them, it behooved them to know their ruler, and to be aware of this in particular, that he who created them is Lord of all. For since his invisible essence is mighty, it confers on all a profound mental intuition and perception of his most powerful, yea, omnipotent, greatness. Wherefore, although no one knows the Father except the Son, nor the Son except the Father, and those to whom the Son will reveal him, yet all beings do know this one fact at least, because reason, implanted in their minds, moves them, and reveals to them the truth that there is one God, the Lord of all. And on this account, all things have been, by general consent, placed under the sway of him who is styled the Most High and the Almighty. By calling upon him, even before the coming of our Lord, men were saved both from most wicked spirits, and from all kinds of demons, and from every sort of apostate power. This was the case, not as if earthly spirits or demons had seen him, but because they knew of the existence of him who is God over all, at whose invocation they trembled, as there does tremble every creature and principality and power, and every being endowed with energy under his government. By way of parallel, shall not those who live under the empire of the Romans, although they have never seen the emperor, but are far separated from him both by land and sea, know very well, as they experience his rule, who it is that possesses the principal power in the state? How, then, could it be that those angels, who are superior to us in nature, or even he whom they call the creator of the world, did not know the Almighty, when even dumb animals tremble and yield at the invocation of his name? And as, although they have not seen him, yet all things are subject to the name of our Lord, so must they also be to his, who made and established all things by his word, since it was no other than he who formed the world. And for this reason do the Jews, even now, put demons to flight by means of this very adjuration, inasmuch as all beings fear the invocation of him who created them. If, then, they shrink from affirming that the angels are more irrational than the dumb animals, they will find that it behooved these, although they had not seen him who is God over all, to know his power and sovereignty. For it will appear truly ridiculous if they maintain that they themselves indeed, who dwell upon the earth, know him who is God over all, whom they have never seen, but will not allow him who, according to their opinion, formed them and the whole world, although he dwells in the heights and above the heavens, to know those things with which they themselves, though they dwell below, are acquainted. That is the case, unless perchance they maintain that Bythus lives in Tartarus below the earth, and that on this account they have attained to a knowledge of him before those angels who have their abode on high. Thus do they rush into such an abyss of madness as to pronounce the creator of the world void of understanding. They are truly deserving of pity, since with such utter folly they affirm that he, the creator of the world, neither knew his mother, nor her seed, nor the pleroma of the aeons, nor the propator, nor what the things were which he made, but that these are images of those things which are within the pleroma, the Savior having secretly labored that they should be so formed by the unconscious demiurge, in honor of those things which are above. End of chapter 6.